LSU with Carter is the power, power. LSU with Carter.
Let's freaking go! Shout out to friend of the channel, T-Bob Hebert. Got a huge job today with Barstool Sports. T-Bob and I have been friends for well over a decade now. We were both at LSU at the same time. We both used to do a podcast together. I have been probably on over 100 radio segments with T-Bob Hebert over the course of my career at WWL, at 104.5, and now here. One of my biggest regrets up to this point in my career is that we've not gotten T-Bob on here, even though 1,000 times when we see each other, he talks about, you know, doing a segment on PHL. It's just tough because, you know, he has to get up so early in the morning and he does 50,000 different shows. But he is going to Barstool Sports. He is leaving 104.5, an iconic radio show that used to be with Jordy Collada and then obviously with Jacob Hester. I don't know why T-Bob is going to Chicago to join Barstool Sports. I can tell you, though, when he says in interviews upcoming that this is a dream job for him, he did tell me at the Super Bowl that it would be awesome to work there. He did say how, and I also agreed with him how awesome it would be to work with Barstool Sports, because we talked about all the different media entities. He was with Colin Cowherd. He was just with Jim Rome Show. And if any of those guys are hiring, I would love to do extra stuff outside of this. And who knows? We never know what could happen next. Now, I was flattered earlier today because, well, I don't know what 104.5 is going to do. What I will say, though, is I am open for business. I always am open for partnerships. You know, I did actually a podcast today with my former boss who gave me my first ever terrestrial radio job as an 18-year-old. And it would not even barely done with 1 year of college. I miss doing daily radio. I really do. I thought I wasn't going to miss it as much as I do, but I miss it. I really, really, really miss doing a daily radio show. I listen to Colin Cowherd every single day. I miss the prep of doing it. So if 104.5 is watching, I'm always open for opportunities. You always have to be in this business unless, of course, you are Jim Rome or Colin Cowherd. And even then, they listen to every legitimate offer. So I'm always open to that. And I love 104.5. I've been on their platform plenty of times. So there you go. But I know this is a different way of starting a show. I do owe T-Bob a lot. I really, really, really do. I mean, I just love the guy. Even outside of all the professional stuff and radio stuff and all of it, I highly recommend, if you can find these, I don't even know if they're still up. We did a podcast that lasted about 20 episodes. And if you go back and listen to those podcasts, make sure you're by yourself. It is not meant to be consumed on speakerphone, to say the least. It was some of the funnest stuff I've ever done. So look, I am very fortunate to have very good friends in the BR media, but T-Bob's near the top alongside Blake and Mario and so on and so on. It's a blessing to have known this guy, and it's a blessing to see him go where he is going to go. Okay. And for the record, if someone in my orbit gets a big promotion, I'm going to talk about it because it makes me so excited. Because I know how difficult sports media is, even with someone whose dad is a legendary sports media figure and someone who's played the game and done as much as he's done. It's a big, big, big deal to get recruited by Barstool Sports. It is just huge. Okay. And something else, Brandon Walker, who, you know, oversees college football basically at Barstool, actually gave me my first LSU podcasting gig. And I owe Brandon a lot for that. Every time I see him, I tell him that. But we move on. Okay. Brennan says he's usually hammered stone by now. We signed to LAMA. I would love to work there. The thing about Barstool, though, is my wife loves Barstool Sports more than me. Okay. Like she adores him. Like her favorite podcasters are on that network. So there you go. Now, the next thing that I wanted to talk about this evening is the future of the Southeastern Conference. What does it look like for LSU? You know, the most undertold story about the Southeastern Conference is the exact thing that everybody is angry about in the NBA, which are all the injuries. Okay, but why is it that we have seen a huge increase in player injuries in the NBA? Is it because of load management? Is it because of pace and space? Is it just bad luck? Whatever the case may be, I want someone, anyone, to give me your best reason as to why. I keep going back to the league's structure. The NBA has a bigger global footprint than the NFL. But over the past 5 years, if you were to look at the top 100 rated broadcasts, none of them are an NBA game. Now, there's plenty of NFL. There's some college football mixed in there. The Oscars, political stuff, all of that's mixed in there. The NBA's not mixed in there. NBA, yeah, they're always going to have interest. They're always going to have IG numbers, all those things. The problem, why they don't get those giant numbers, is because of its league structure. The single most important thing in any sports league, more than the players, more than the team, as important as the sport itself, is the league structure. And at this juncture, we don't know what the 2026 schedule will look like. Now, we're going to do 1,000 different breakdowns before the Clemson game on Clemson and the 2025 season. But what makes LSU very interesting about 2026 and beyond is that LSU doesn't have a team that they absolutely, positively must play every year because they don't have a main rival. So whether we stay at 8 conference games or whether we go to 9, LSU does not have a main rival. There are some schools, though, that have multiple big, big, big rivals. Texas, obviously, is the most notable. They have Texas A&M, which is now a thing on Rivalry Week, but they also have the Red River Shootout with Oklahoma, okay? Does that game get sacrificed in LSU's lone rivalry game that they play every year is Oklahoma, which isn't a rivalry at all. We have mostly kicked their ass. Obviously, 03, and then, of course, a lot of you remember the Justin Jefferson game, and then, of course, you get to last year where you beat the crap out of them. I want people to understand that LSU is in a different space because if you're Alabama, you know you're going to play Auburn. You know it. If you're Ole Miss, you know you're going to play Mississippi State and so on, okay? So whatever it is, okay, you are going to need to understand that the conference is going to be a weird – it's going to be a weird limbo, if you will, as the future of the SEC is still up for grabs. Okay. Now, it's out of Kevin. Yeah, I don't know what happened with the microphone. I don't know if it sounded terrible there at the beginning, but it is what it is. Let's go to Brennan. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but I am open. Besides to Jared Addison, good to see you. Yeah, everyone talks about the old whiskey and wine. I can't handle alcohol the same way T-Bob handles it. Now, I don't drink as heavily as he does, but your boy can get wasted. I have definitely been that on, and not really on here before. I have been lit on this show before, though. Like, lit. But I don't think I've ever been at that level. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens, okay? Now, does that sound better for you, Kevin? I want to make sure everyone hears me loud and clear, okay? You know, I tend to think when I look at LSU next year. So the show I went on earlier today was an Arkansas show. I did it at a fun little pizza parlor. And, you know, they asked me so many questions about NIL. And everyone's trying to figure out what's next for college football and NIL and all of that. And so much of this is on the NCAA. But I cannot stress enough that one major hurdle that every team is dealing with are the parents. The parents have been a bigger issue than people initially thought with NIL. All right. It's not really been the players. Yeah, have the players been difficult? Sure, everybody wants the highest dollar amount. Have the agents have been difficult? Yes, but that is what you're paying them to do, to get the highest amount of money that you could possibly get. Whatever the case may be, there are no guardrails in this, all right? There are none. No rules, no regulations. There are some LSU players that chose to come to LSU, and we were not the highest bidders. We were not. There were some players on this team that transferred in, and they were offered more money elsewhere. Okay? I cannot state enough how important parents are during the recruiting process. And we probably should have seen this coming with all the recruiting visits over the years. Ultimately, most coaches said when it came to the commitment, mom was the single most important person to please. Okay. So if that's the case, we probably should have predicted with NIL that the parents were going to be the most difficult. All right. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, I've been in a good spot to talk to some of the transfers parents that have come in. And they have said, hey, it's not been the highest bidder. It's not been the case with LSU. So understand, when you hear those things, you do begin to see that people that decided to come to LSU when they could have gone to any school, they are deciding to buy into what we are selling to recruits out there. All right. And if that is true, it's impossible for me to verify those things. You know, once again, I'm taking the parents at their word. I really do think this LSU defense could be special next year. All right. I really, really, really do think so. I have my doubts, I have my reservations. The big question mark was at safety, but there are so many players that exist on this LSU defense that I know are at the very least good players, good starting SEC level players. I cannot say that about last year's defense. It's just that simple. I cannot state that. And on this very show leading into the year, I felt that way last year. All right. This year, I am believing a lot of what has been told to me about this LSU defense. Now, do I fully believe it? Well, We were the worst LSU defense at stopping the run since 2009 in SEC play. The worst. But now we have a better defensive tackle room to deal with that. We did lose Braden Swinson. We did lose Savion Jones. They both got drafted. I think we can be better at defensive end. You get Whit Weeks back. This will be the best version of Whit Weeks. You are definitely going to be better at safety because it's not that hard to be better at safety than what LSU was last year. And you probably will be better at corner. So it's just hard for me to see a world where the LSU defense isn't better than what they were last year. It's really, really, really hard. All right. Kevin wants to talk about SMU and the big news that we are playing them later. All right. I have said this multiple times, and I've been saying this for the last couple of years as well. It's still weird to say years, but SMU is the single biggest untapped force in college football. I think SMU has a real shot to shake everything up. I really, really, really do. We saw them make the playoff last year, but the biggest thing is investment. You saw the powers that be at SMU just pay to get them out of the Conference USA and to get them into a Power Four conference. Now you're going to tell me that they don't want to do that with their roster? You make that big of an investment, that means you're already invested. The way it was explained to me is that when it comes to $10 million donors, SMU has well over 200 that they can call and donate to the university. They have the money. So we're going to play them in 2028 and 2029. I think they're going to be really good. I think they have the potential to be that next Clemson, a team that had really good success in the 80s, but fell off until that coach and that wave of talent came in to change things. I am in on SMU in the future. So we do play them in the future. We do play them in difficult season opening games. And depending on playoff requirements and what you have to do to make the playoff in terms of how many non-conference teams you have to play during the course of a year, if we're playing a 9-game conference schedule by then, you know, that could be a far more difficult season opener than we think. Now, once again, that's way down the road, but this show tonight has been about the future, okay? So we'll see what happens. Cliff, a very good friend of T-Bob himself, he goes here. I think the running quarterbacks give LSU the most problems. Solve that, and it will be better. Yeah, I mean, it's the elephant in the room. And the thing that should concern you about that, if you're an LSU fan, remember, in the first game of the season, you did not play a running quarterback. You played a pure pocket quarterback in Miller Moss. This year in your season opener, you're playing Cade Klubnik, who can move. But what if I told you that Cade Klubnik is not even a top five runner at the quarterback position on LSU schedule? Not top five. Lenore Sellers is number one. Taylen Green is number two. Number three is probably John Mateer of Oklahoma. And then number four, you have DJ Lagway, who can scoot. And then number five might be Cade Klubnik. Might be. But I don't know. Because you still have to play Diego Pavia this year. He himself is a good runner. It's going to be a tough schedule. And you know, to Cliff's point, as good as we might think that this LSU defense could be next year, you might find yourself in a situation where you're playing against your Achilles heel every week. And Sam points out a name that I forget. Yeah, Marcel Reed is definitely a better runner than Klubnik, as we are well aware. And it's funny because today on the treadmill, I watched Marcel Reed highlights. Shout out to my guy Samuel. He's been helping me with some of my my health stuff. You should check him out on IG, SM Fitness. He does health plans. He's been helping me out. And he changed things up for me. I'm doing a treadmill at 10 incline at like 2.5. So it's still tough. I did it actually at 3. It's still tough to do, but it's not like you're sprinting and you can't watch highlights. So what I do is I'll put highlights up on my screen. All right. And I put my phone up there and I watch. I highly recommend you do this. All right. Number one, you'll see here on PHL, we're going to be doing more health is wealth type of stuff. Now, I'm not going to preach to you because I still cheat. I've had 2 Sonic 32-ouncers today. Okay. I'm not going to, I cheat all the time on my diet. Okay. This is not Joey LaGreca going on over here. But I do cheat on my diet all the time, but I go to the gym every day. I try to. Okay. This will change your life. Just going on the treadmill, put it on 10 incline and go at 2 miles per hour. I think every human being can do that if you're under the age of 50. I think most can do it as well. It is so good for your fat burning. And you could still watch YouTube. And I highly recommend you just get on there and watch highlights. Because what it forces you to do is lock in. Because you can't really twiddle on the phone. You can't really look because you're doing an exercise. It really lets you lock in and pick up on some of the pluses and minuses of some of the players. And Marcel Reed had a brutal outing versus Texas. That was one of the best defensive games in the SEC last year, what they did to Marcel Reed. It was very, very, very bright what Texas decided to do. They changed their surfaces on their defensive front quite a bit. Some 3 hand in the dirt surfaces, some 4, some 5, 5-man fronts. And they did a really good job of changing up pictures to defend him. And we need to do a better job of that. But I'm glad you called me out on that, Sam. I left Marcel Reed out of that 5. But yeah, if and I think Klubnik is behind all 5 of those guys, and he is very good running. I would be if LSU had hired me as an analyst, I would focus on that thing because that is the biggest thing holding you back defensively. Figuring this out. All right. We've got to figure this out. Whatever it takes, we've got to do it. Okay. Now, coming up next, you get a rare, and I mean rare, hot LSU baseball take from your boy right after
this. Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And And I got to show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. Don't forget, we're giving out a Ja'Marr Chase autographed jersey at the end of the month to any patron. All you got to do is sign up. You get the extra film studies, podcasts, and so on and so on. So, Jay Johnson, South Carolina series, there's a lot of juice between these two teams because of the Paul Manieri angle. I also found it cheeky that LSU used Michael Braswell as a graphic to announce the South Carolina series. Of course, Brazzy used to play for the Gamecocks. Paul Manieri has been terrible as the South Carolina coach. They're probably the worst team in the SEC. And that is a shock to nobody that's followed LSU. It's not anything against Paul. It's just, you know, towards the end of his LSU tenure, he just wasn't great. And he had to go to South Carolina, which is a good program. They've won two natties in the past 15 years. But, yeah. Jay Johnson, though, decides to keep Cade Anderson as the Friday night starter. So the series is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. So Cade Anderson will not pitch game one. But I think it's even more interesting that Anthony is kept into game three, which would be his normal Saturday night start. I saw someone tweet this out. I think it was Mikey Matuk, who basically said that if Anthony was a Friday night starter, he would be up for pitcher of the year in the SEC. But because he doesn't have that Friday night light glow, people are overlooking him for pitcher of the year in the SEC. I don't know enough about SEC baseball. I think it's the Tennessee guy and the Oklahoma guy that's going after the title pitcher of the year in the SEC. You've had quite a few good ones. Obviously, Paul Skenes, Hagen Smith, and so on. There have been some really, really, really good pitchers in the SEC over the past couple of years. I don't think anyone disagrees with Jay Johnson's decision to keep things as is. I will say, though, from a college baseball fan perspective, I much prefer the Thursday, Friday, Saturday series to the Friday, Saturday, Sunday series, even though that affects my live stream schedule. I love Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I just do. No shade to the Friday, Saturday, Sunday stuff, but I just love a good Thursday night game. I don't think we do enough in our society on Thursday nights. And it's funny, I'm anti-Thursday night football in the NFL. But outside of that, we need more Thursday night activities. More, not less. But LSU looks pretty good to be a top eight national seed. Take care of business this weekend versus South Carolina. You probably are a lock at this point. Okay. Big weekend, though. The Manieri angle is a big one. Okay. A sitting national championship head coach from LSU coaching a different school versus LSU. Has that ever happened before in any sport? I don't think so. I don't think it's ever happened. Kidding. Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it moving. Also, I'm an idiot. I am an idiot. Okay. I could not believe that I missed out on another Marvel movie. Everyone's saying Thunderbolts is the best thing since sliced bread. But then I'm kind of confused. They changed the name to the Mini Avengers or something like that. Apparently, this movie is just straight fire. I don't know. I feel like I don't watch enough TV and movies. I don't watch any of the Star Wars stuff or anything like that. But, you know, I would love to go see this film. I don't think it's showing at my theater anymore, though. So you guys got to let me know if it's worth me driving a distance to go see a film. Because you guys know I'm not the biggest movie guy in the world. I'm mostly sports and just YouTube. But I do think one thing, and this actually hurts me. I love YouTube Premium. YouTube without ads. Ads pay my bills. If you get YouTube Premium, I don't make as much money. I don't make a lot of money as is. But YouTube Premium is a game changer. It makes you go, wow, this is big. It's got a Pierce. It's mostly just a PR stunt to hype up other movies. I binged Andor till 5 this morning. But I am very pro ad on content, especially for smaller creators, because it is so hard to do this and actually make money building audiences and stuff like that. You don't want to over ad anyone. I try not to, but I'm pro ad. You know, when you watch an ad of a free anything, it's a small price to pay for it being free. Yeah, that's one way I look at it. Now, if you overdo it, it's CC, there's Jared. But before you do the premium, you should join the PHL Patreon. And get access to our Discord. Sam has been lighting it up with his normal hot takes. We have had some pretty lively debates lately in the private Discord. And it gets you a one-on-one opportunity with me. Let's go to Crazy with the Cheese Whiz. Very classy T-Bob take. I really do mean this with T-Bob. He is up there with the most talented guy I've ever shared the airways with. And I've been very fortunate to be around some very, very, very talented people. He's up there, man. Let's see. Hey, I never hate if anybody's watching behind, okay? It's always better to watch live because you know, you get to interact with me. I take more viewer comments than most. I do think viewer comments are very important, especially if it's not like a gazillion. But, you know, I used to do, 7 hours of radio a day? 3B and talk radio, where I had no live chat. And I had callers. But still. Yeah, he was a giant. I've got a one of my favorite photos I have in my during my LSU career. All right. Was one of me, T-Bob, and Carly McCord. RIP. The fun sports broadcaster who died tragically in a plane accident going to the SEC championship game. And I miss Carly. She was great. She was great. I'm lucky to know her husband, who coaches high school football. And she was just the best. There was a photo. We were in a press box somewhere. I think it was LSU's press box. Yeah, so many fun memories with T-Bob. When I was looking up something, I don't know if I'm allowed to play this, but I did a WWL radio segment with T-Bob, and I did it at a crawfish boil where they decided that this is some backwoods stuff. They decided to eat the crawfish on a pool table, but they didn't want the pool table anymore. So they just went outside and just set it on fire. And I was doing a radio segment while they were setting the pool table on fire. There's a video of it somewhere on Twitter. And I was giving live play-by-play. It was like the most basic play-by-play. It's like one of those you had to be there kind of things. But for some reason, people enjoyed it so much. Like, yeah, we're checking in with Carter in Backwoods, Arkansas. They're like lighting a pool table on fire. Oh, man. It's just so great. So great. That's what I miss about radio, man. Anything goes. So there you go. Best of luck to T-Bob at Barstool Sports. Now, one last thing I want to discuss as far as the NFL draft is concerned. LSU, going into next year, how many elite NFL draft prospects does LSU have going into 2026? I believe there are four. Garrett, Witt, Perk, and Mansoor Delane. I do think Jack Pyburn will play well enough to get in that mix. I think Patrick Payton has a really good shot of moving up those rankings as well. But, with Garrett, NFL teams do want to see the turnovers get cleaned up. Okay. They really, really, really do want to see the turnovers get cleaned up. And on top of that, connecting on a few more deep passes. I will say one NFL scout who ironically I met in an NFL press box or LSU press box did say that he is baking in the LSU offensive structure into Garrett's evaluation because it's a lot like an NFL structure in that things are difficult. You're having to process things at an extremely high level. All right. Now, as far as other elite NFL draft prospects, I do think Chris Hilton can shoot up draft boards. I really do think so. The thing that will work against him, though, and it's beat over the head by more so the fantasy community than the actual NFL community, I don't think that they care as much about this as fantasy guys do. Chris Hilton is a year five college player. All right. And at skill positions, outside of quarterback, they do factor if you are a year four, year five breakout. Sometimes, though, they'll bypass it. You know, the Bengals took an older off-ball linebacker in the second round out of South Carolina. So I think that's one thing working against Chris. I also think Aaron Anderson has a little bit more NFL draft hype than, once again, a lot of the fantasy community won't like. And there will be quite a few NFL teams that don't like that Aaron isn't the absolute biggest blazer. He's not the absolute biggest guy. And he does have injury history as well. Side of Maturano, and then we go here. What's up, Dev? Dev, what's good? Sam says Josh Thompson. Maybe. I hope so. I mean, we're having a good season if he's moving up draft boards. Dev says Berrien Brown will be LSU's best receiver. I can attest that Berrien Brown wants to put as much as he possibly can into being the next best wide receiver at LSU, the next great wide receiver at LSU. You saw LSU mic him up. I do think Berrien Brown, just based on, you know, what I've heard from practice, he really wants to be great at LSU. I do think one Berrien Brown thing that is important is I don't know too many transfers that are more excited to actually play at LSU than him. Remember, he was a part of a run-first, slower-paced Kentucky offense. And Kentucky last year, I think, threw the football 315-ish times, and LSU threw the football 500 times. Once again, that's throwing the football. That's not pure dropbacks. Which means that is 150-ish. I would need to go look at the attempt numbers. At least 150 targets that are up for grabs. Okay? So, when you look at the production that LSU had last year from Aaron Anderson and towards the back end of the season, Chris Hilton, you do have to factor in that you're going to have some success, right? You're going to have some success with your offense. But LSU couldn't really run the football consistently, and Garrett himself also didn't run. So if those two things are true, the yards have to go somewhere. That was not Berrien Brown's case. Berrien Brown played at Kentucky with a wide receiver that was as good as any wide receiver that we had last year in Dane Key. All right. So Berrien Brown had to share the targets with Dane Key with really volatile quarterback play and 150 at least fewer targets offensively to go around. So Berrien Brown's like, oh, I get to play with a gunslinging pocket quarterback who's not afraid to chunk it deep in a wide receiver factory like LSU. You know, Berrien Brown was getting real NFL draft buzz after his true freshman season. Nobody that saw Berrien Brown play as a true freshman would have ever thunk, ever in their life think that he was not coming out after three seasons of college football. That's how good he was as a true freshman. And here we are.
Okay.
So obviously, we hope to not have as many passing attempts as we did last year. But we'll see. Saints schedule slowly coming out. NFL schedule slowly coming out. It would not shock me if Jaden Daniels wins the Super Bowl, even with the Eagles in his division. It would not shock me if he wins the Super Bowl next year. Or at least is in the Super Bowl next year. I'm so excited for the NFL. Love where the NFL is right now as a sport. And honestly, it's never been better if you are a casual NFL but huge LSU fan. Not only are there a lot of LSU players in the league, they're at the sexy positions. Quarterback and wide receiver. Throwing a few pass rushers. Now you got a big-time tight end. Offensive linemen out the wazoo that are making record-setting money. I'm a Joe Burrow fanatic. The Bengals need to get this Trey Hendrickson situation under control. And obviously, I like Trey more than some of the other Bengals because he played with the Saints. Let me see. Blanche, I appreciate the compliment. I always want to go back to the beginning, but seeing Carter in real time is like magic. I used to do sleight of hand magic, like on street corners and stuff like that. And the funny thing was I sucked. I freaking sucked. There's one trick I do well, and it's pretty awesome. But other than that, I am ass. I'm absolutely ass. Don't try and be a card magician if you have small fingers. You know what they say about people that have small fingers? They can't do street magic. That's what they say about them. So I gave it up once I realized that I wasn't going to be David Blaine. As many times I have been told I look like David Blaine, which I don't look like David Blaine, but I'll hold it down for my light-skinned brethren. There's so many good like street magicians on Instagram now, though. You can always watch them do new tricks every day that are just mind-blowing. But to Jared's point, if we have a running game, let's see what happens. Let's go to Blanche. You watch the John Mateer breakdown on Power Hour SEC. Oh, I love me some John Mateer. He's a fun quarterback to watch. A few things about Mateer. And you should go watch the breakdown. At the end of the year at Washington State, he played the 91st, 121st, 130th, and 127th ranked defenses in four of his final five games. The other was against the 78th ranked defense in terms of yards per play. So this is Oklahoma's new starting quarterback. But, guy, he's good. He's good. He is what I would consider to be a good college quarterback. Not like some NFL or high-level type of guy like that. He's just a good college quarterback, okay? Now, should we be worried about him? Well, I don't know. It's so early to be worried about anything. Yeah. And they're good. I mean, not Heisman JD5, but JD5, JD5. He's good, dude. He's good. John Mateer can play. I will say, though, deep ball accuracy can be all over the place. And it was his first year starting. Okay, so all these SEC defensive coordinators have a year of film to study. Let's go to Maturano. I'm seriously worried about the interior of our offensive line. And to that, I say, abso-freaking-lutely. You should be very worried about that position group. I do think LSU has a plan that might not be what you think it will be. But, man, I just don't know. I just don't know if I would run it back with DJ Chester as my starting center when you went out into the portal and got a starting center. So I do think Braylon Moore will be your starting center. So there you go. Now, that'll do it for me. I might be done doing a live stream, but my dear beloved friend, Blake Ruffino, is about to start up here in a second on AYS. I go in there all the time, and he is one of my best buddies. So I like promoting other LSU media sources as long as you still support me. What time are we? Are we going to go live tomorrow? Let's see. Make sure the baseball game starts at 6:30. No, it starts at 6. Yuck. That would that be back-to-back Thursdays, no live streams? It might be back-to-back Thursdays, no live streams. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We might go live tomorrow at 5. All right. I'm not a big fan of 5 p.m. live streams. 6 is the sweet spot for your boy. But once again, special thanks to Zion Imaging. Please go sign up for the PHL Patreon. Please. Patreon.com/LSU football. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. You bet your tail, Blanche, you're going to win the College World Series. Tonight we are doing chicken quesadillas. Cliff, you are right about Ness running. Let's go.